Welcome to Postcast, David Locke along with Ron Boone. The Jazz fall in overtime 124-120 to the San Antonio Spurs. We'll talk about what was one of the best games, if not the best game, of the entire season. An incredible effort, a career night for LaMarcus Aldridge, a remarkable willing of the team back into the game by Donovan Mitchell, and a lack of defensive rebounding. That's all coming up tonight on Postcast. Well, Ron, I am fairly fried right now. I'm not sure my brain still works. That was one of the best basketball games I have seen in a long time. As a Jazz fan, you want the win, and we'll talk about that at some point, but you've got to be incredibly proud of the fight. This was a game that felt as though the Spurs were in control the whole night because of LaMarcus Aldridge's career night, and yet the Jazz just stayed in contact and then Donovan did remarkable things late.
Well, after getting down in that first quarter, second quarter really helped the Jazz. Were they able to get back in it and make it a basketball game? And you're absolutely right. We saw a little bit of everything. We saw big shots. We saw some remarkable play there from LaMarcus Aldridge and also with Donovan Mitchell. Both of them having career nights, you know, for the most part. But it was one of those basketball games that kept us all on the end of our seats. And we're going to sit here now. We're going to look at little things that happened in the basketball game or little things that were taken away from you in the basketball game that caused you to win or lose.
The big picture on this one was two very similar teams, brilliantly coached on both ends, incredible fight, who actually had an offensive, or the second and third best defensive teams in the league, and had an offensive night on both sides. And then superhuman performances by both LaMarcus Aldridge and Donovan Mitchell, which all equalized itself out into just a possession-by-possession amazing game.
When you sit back and you think about the way the game, you know, the way things happen, you know, you can go from quarter to quarter, and then you can start picking out little things in the game that were just tremendous. In particular, Ginobili's, that 2 points that he made going to the basket. Jazz did everything right. They forced him to his right like they wanted to, but he was so good, so crafty, getting back to that left hand and putting high off the glass over there by Rudy Gobert. Big plays like that at crucial times that kept everything in place.
Question just came in. He thought the refs seemed one-sided. I'm not sure I would agree with that. I think playing the Spurs feels that way. But I would agree that there was a big-time missed call late in the game. Rudy Gobert went up. He was fouled. And that call was
put him up by one.
It would have put him up by one. So that was a big, big missed call. And I thought the official just choked on his whistle. I mean, there's just no other explanation for that. Otherwise, I didn't necessarily feel that way. All right, but the Jazz lose this game because for all the heroics, they don't defensive rebound on two key possessions, and the Spurs score the key points of the night on offensive rebound putbacks.
Yeah, yep. But, you know, the lineup that Quinn had out there on the floor was the lineup that he thought could get the job done. They did get the job done on the offensive end. It's just that they lacked, you know, some rebounders. Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder just could not come up with the rebounds because Rudy Gobert had been taken away from the basket. And so it was up to those two guys in order to come up with a rebound, and Rudy Gay was able to come up with it.
Final number tonight, the Spurs had 11 offensive rebounds on 38 chances, so that's nearly 30%. That's a huge number. And it seemed to be a large part of their game plan, that if Gobert was going to go out and alter shots, that they were going to crash the offensive board. They're the eighth best offensive rebounding team in the league. They haven't always been an offensive rebounding team, but that seemed intentional.
Well, and just think about that. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is a tremendous player 15 feet to 10 feet away from the basket. That does take Rudy away from the basket. So now you have a 50% chance of getting an offensive rebound. And during that possession, you know, they did, and it really helped. But again, as you just mentioned, it was a tremendous basketball game. And also the game plan, I thought, was to clog the middle, keeping the Jazz. Jazz just don't get lobs anymore, you know, strictly because of the way teams play them.
All right, so let's go to some X's and O's part of this game. Early in the game, LaMarcus Aldridge scores 17 in the first quarter. What happened? The Jazz were doing what's called a channel, icing is the term, where they push the ball handler down to the baseline. Gobert then comes down as the big to try to cut off that driving lane. LaMarcus Aldridge was popping out to 18 feet, and suddenly Rudy Gobert's got to cover all the way from the edge of the paint all the way out to 18 feet, and LaMarcus Aldridge, who shoots 40% on shots over 15 feet, went 5 for 5 in the first quarter.
Yeah, and I thought the defensive strategy that Quinn had. Single coverage there on LaMarcus Aldridge, and I don't think he anticipated LaMarcus getting as hot as he was. I mean, what a ball game. I mean, what was he, 5 for 5 before he missed the shot? And then I think he continued on with 17 points in that first quarter. Jazz did not stray away from that. And as a result, you know, they ended up getting back in the basketball game, especially that second quarter. Now, Aldridge, I don't think. Yeah.
Ron's left us. He'll come back in a second.
He ended up with 6 points in that third quarter. So it kind of came back to the Jazz.
Quinn made an interesting move. He put favors on Aldridge to open up that third quarter. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to made a little more contact and almost seemed to disrupt Aldridge a little bit.
Well, because Derek was fighting him a little bit more, and he would not let him come back to the middle of the floor, just force him to continue to shoot that baseline jump shot, which he's very, very good at. So, you know, both coaches very smart, making adjustments and making some changes in order to get the job done. You know, what else can you say? It was just a great basketball game. And also my ears are still ringing.
Sorry, I went a little crazy. The Ingles has a solid night, 13 points. Favors was great, 22-8. Rubio had 20 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and actually kind of kept the Jazz in the game for an extended period of time. Donovan Mitchell was having a Spurs game. He was being forced into uncomfortable shots. He was being taken shots where... And he was fighting through it, I thought, impressively. He was having a pretty inefficient night. He was, I think, 4 for his last, like, 32 from 3. And then he just, as a rookie, willed the Jazz back into this game, despite the fact that he was having a poor shooting night. Give me a guy who's watched this game for 50 years, who understands the mentality of players. What are you seeing in that work from Donovan?
I'm going to make the next shot. I mean, he doesn't he's not scared. And so he's not making shots, so he doesn't just all of a sudden start passing the ball or something like that. He continues to play his game. Now, he took 35 shots tonight. That's a lot of shots. But the Jazz needed it. They needed that kind of an effort from him. He's fearless. You like that. And if the Jazz are going to ride with him, they're going to go with him, then they're going to have to accept, you know, those bad shooting nights that he'll have from time to time.
The burden that is on him. I talked about this on Locked On Jazz today's episode. I mean, LeBron has Kevin Love. Russell Westbrook has Paul George and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Steph Curry has Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. James Harden has Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell has Joe Ingles, who's a nice player, but he's our second best offensive player.
Yeah.
Right? Started the league by being cut by the Clippers and being cut by Memphis and being cut by the Warriors and then opened the league for his first 2 years by not shooting.
Yeah.
Like, the burden that is on Donovan Mitchell every single night right now to carry this team, and he's answering, is mind-blowing to me.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Considering this, is that 35 shots, you know, there's going to be nights where he has to do that. Our bench is not – we don't have that guy on our bench that anyone should be afraid of right now. I think the Jazz had 17 points off their
bench. Dante was pretty good tonight.
So he was pretty good. Didn't get a lot of playing time in that second half. But our bench, we don't have that threat. And so our starters, in particular Donovan Mitchell, you know, he's going to have those kind of nights. But that's just the way it's going to have to be.
Somebody's saying it should have been a shot clock violation on that last save by Donovan Mitchell. I didn't realize that at the time.
Well, what they're saying is that, and I understand the listener was saying, but did Donovan Mitchell have control of the ball when he grabbed it and threw it back in the backcourt? That's what they're saying.
So then the ball would have been out on the spur. Then Donovan clearly thought the ball was off the Jazz at that point, right? Or else he wouldn't have saved it.
If he had control and he stepped out of bounds, maybe. Because I was trying to figure that out as well. If he had control of the ball and then they threw it back.
They ruled, I saw Ronnie Garrison say that he, by throwing it back, had control of the ball.
He had control, so which means that gives them the ball because they did come up with it. And then it also gives them a new shot clock.
All right. One incredible game. Incredible, incredible, incredible night. Great game, great coaches, two similar teams.
So if one of our listeners there if they want to complain about one call, it would be that one that Rudy got whacked, and, yeah. and they didn't. He should have got a 3-point play.
Yeah, go to the Rudy call if you want to complain tonight. I'm not sure this one's worth. I'm not sure this one's worth complaining about. I think this is just an incredible basketball game and enjoyable to be a part of. Jazz fall in overtime to the Spurs. The road winning streak is done. We'll talk to you from Oakland on pregame Periscope. We'll try to get you Steph Curry early on that one. Enjoy us. Enjoy the time. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.